is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
This from Operation Rescue. A former Planned Parenthood abortionist who was responsible for nearly 41% of chemical abortion complications in Ohio has reopened and renamed an abortion clinic closed by the state last year for serious health and safety code violations. David M. Birkins continues to dispense RU486 abortion pills at the former Capital Care Network, now named the Northeast Ohio Women's Center, in Cuyahoga Falls outside Akron, Ohio. He has filed an application with the Ohio Department of Health to obtain a license to conduct surgical abortions. The health department closed that facility in April 2013 because of uncorrected deficiencies discovered 2 months earlier. Furthermore, Operation Rescue has obtained 42 reports that were filed with the State Medical Board of Ohio between April 2011 and February 2013, noting complications from RU486 abortions, with Birkin cited in 17 of the 42 reports. For more information on this story, including lists of the complications at the Capital Care Center and complications involving David Birkins, go to OperationRescue.org.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. According to research compiled by the Family Research Council, the younger a girl is when she first has sex, the more likely she is to have an abortion. FRC says the findings explain why Planned Parenthood pushes so hard to get explicit sex education in schools and condoms and birth control into the hands of middle school and high school students. By the time women reach 20, they've learned the harms of abortion and are more likely to choose life. That's why groups like Planned Parenthood are targeting young, impressionable girls. FRC concludes that our society is doing young men and women a disservice by pushing sex on them and calling it education. If we really care about our kids, we'll encourage abstinence and leave the lessons on sex and sexuality to the parents, where it belongs. There's more online at afain.net.
As you know, we mark the 41st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion across the country back in January. And while the fundamentals of the pro-life fight have remained the same, some of the pieces of the fight have changed over the years. For example, we see a younger face on those who are pro-life. We've seen public opinion come around to more of a pro-life perspective as a result of the testimonies of those who've had abortions and have come to a place of healing. We have seen technology support what we've said all along, and that is that life begins at conception and is very evident when we view ultrasound pictures. But one of the things that has been of particular interest to those of us who have been on the front lines over the past few years is the rapid increase of a new abortion procedure, sometimes referred to as chemical abortions or RU486. For example, here in the state of Indiana, in 2012, the last year that we have statistics, 2 out of every 10 abortions are these chemical abortions. And in that year alone, there were nearly 2,000 abortions out of the almost 9,000 abortions that were performed in the state of Indiana that were chemical abortions. And that is a significant rise from the 4% of abortion procedures that were listed as chemical abortions when the information was first reported back in 2004 here in Indiana. So we can see that this is certainly becoming more and more of an issue for us to understand how to refute. And it is certainly my pleasure today to have Dr. George Delgado of San Diego, California, on the line with us via telephone. Welcome, Dr. Delgado.
Thank you very much.
Well, we have already discussed the weather, so we can dispense with that. And I will just tell our listeners that it's much better in San Diego than it is here in Indiana in February. So wish we could be there having this interview face-to-face, Dr. Delgado. I'm certain that it would be much more of a pleasurable experience for me being there in the sunshine.
It would, but at least over there you're building character, right?
Exactly, exactly. Well, Dr. Delgado is the medical director of Culture of Life Family Health Center and is a regional Regional Medical Director with the Elizabeth Hospice. Dr. Delgado is board certified in family medicine and in hospice and palliative medicine. And he is a voluntary associate clinical professor at the University of California, San Diego. All those credentials aside, Dr. Delgado, the reason that we've invited you to join us today is because of some cutting edge procedures that you have developed to combat chemical abortions. Let's start out, if you would, please, by just explaining what a chemical abortion is.
Chemical abortion is when a medication, which, you know, all medications are chemicals, or a drug is taken in order to end the life of the developing baby. So instead of using a surgical instrument like is done with dilation and curettage or dilation and evacuation or partial birth abortion, instead, essentially a poison is taken by the mother and that poison then kills the baby. And, you know, in history, there have been many drugs that have been tried for this, different potions and things. But in the last several years, doctors and abortionists had really settled on two different medications. One is called misoprostol, and that's also known as Cytotec. That's not generally used in this country for medical abortion. It's certainly not approved for it. But in other countries, especially countries where mifepristone or RU-46 is not used, misoprostol is used as a chemical abortifacient. Here, of course, mifepristone or RU-46 has been approved to be used as a medical abortion drug, and it's been available here in the United States since about the year 2000.
And I understand that the procedure goes something like this from a purely non-medical point of view, and that is that this medication that you just explained is given to the mother during very early stages of pregnancy, although that's been stretched a bit by the pro-abortion side, I believe. But it is given to her typically in the presence of a physician, and then she's given a medication to take home with her that she's supposed to ingest 24 to 48 hours later.
Yeah, let's just go over it a little more carefully. So the mifepristone or RU-46, it's approved by the Food and Drug Administration to be given up to 7 weeks of pregnancy. It very commonly, though, is used up to 9 weeks of pregnancy in what's called an off-label use for the drug, which is legal, and sometimes even stretched beyond that, like you said. And this is the mifepristone. It's a progesterone receptor blocker, and progesterone is the hormone which is essential for the maintenance of pregnancy, for the nourishment of the placenta and the developing baby. So by blocking the effects of progesterone, the mifepristone causes death of the placenta and the developing baby, the embryo, and the fetus. Well, then the second drug is called misoprostol, which is the drug I mentioned a few minutes ago that is used in other countries by itself as a chemical abortifacient. Well, its action is to cause contractions of the uterus. And so the first drug kills the baby. The second drug causes the remains of the baby to be expelled.
And I have heard some horror stories from women who have gone through this procedure, Dr. Delgado, and I'm sure you have too, where upon the completion of this procedure, the baby could be expelled in the shower or in the toilet. Women don't know what to do. They're horrified. I've heard some stories of women putting these babies' remains in a plastic bag and putting them in the freezer because they don't know what to do. But at that point, it appears to be likely, at least from the stories I've heard, that it's possible that women can certainly identify what they have expelled as a baby.
Yes, depending on how far along they are, if they're closer to, like 7 weeks or beyond, they should easily be able to identify that the remains are of a very young human in development.
And so
that can be quite distressing. And it's something, of course, they're not told about this. They're not
exactly
warned. It's another one of the dark, dirty secrets of the abortion industry.
So that leads us to the complications that women might be able to expect from a chemical abortion. As we've said, that this can be obviously devastating at the end of the procedure, and oftentimes the woman's home, her bedroom, bathroom, whatever, becomes the abortion facility with all those memories and thoughts attached. But there are other complications that women should be aware of and concerned about too.
There certainly are. There is a fairly high incidence of bleeding from the procedure. Sometimes the bleeding will then necessitate a surgical procedure, which is what they're trying to avoid, of course. But if sometimes the part of the placenta remains in there, the uterus will continue to bleed and bleed until they have a curettage, a scraping of the uterus. There also is, with the bleeding, there's a risk of fainting, there's a risk of infection, and there have been several deaths associated with the use of this combination. due to a massive infection, often due to a Clostridium organism. Imagine a girl who goes in and gets this unbeknownst to her parents, comes home and develops a very bad fever and infection. They may just think that it's the flu. They don't know what's been going on with her, and she gets worse and worse, and medical attention is delayed. These are the kind of cases that have led to maternal deaths.
Because the woman may not even be conscious when those around her take her to the ER or wherever they take her to get emergency treatment, and so they may not even be aware that she's ingested these drugs.
That may be the case, or also she just may be afraid, and maybe she was told at the abortion center that she doesn't have to tell her parents. And because she doesn't, that open communication has not been cultivated, well, then she doesn't say anything and everybody's operating in the dark.
Well, this is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you. And our guest today is Dr. George Delgado from San Diego, California. And we're discussing chemical abortion, the RU486 drug. And we said at the beginning of the program that we had some good news associated with this. And Dr. Delgado, I would like for you to share with our listeners the conversation that we had just before we began taping about how you got involved in coming up with a way, at a certain point at least, being able to reverse the effects of a chemical abortion.
Well, you know, I have experience using progesterone in pregnancy because of my training in NAPRO technology. And so I've used progesterone for many years to help women who had what are called threatened miscarriages, where they're pregnant and it appears they may be having a miscarriage. We can use progesterone to help prevent the miscarriage. And a few years ago, I was in my office, and I got a telephone call from a pro-life activist in Bakersfield, California. Her name is Terry Palmquist, and she has an organization called Lifesavers, which really is a nationwide outreach to women who are in crisis pregnancies. She has a website and an 800 number to try to help this woman. She had gotten a telephone call from a woman in El Paso, Texas, who had taken mifepristone RU486, the abortion pill, and it changed her mind and was wondering if there was anything anyone could do to help her to save her baby. And Terry, of course, wasn't sure what to tell her, and so she called me just to see if by any chance I might have any bright ideas. Well, I had never been asked this question before, but I started to think about the situation, and I thought, well, this really is not too different a situation from a threatened miscarriage, and perhaps we could use the same treatment, progesterone, in order to try to reverse the effects of mifepristone. I reasoned that, well, mifepristone is a progesterone receptor blocker or antagonist. And that means the way these hormones work is that the hormone, such as progesterone, latches onto the receptor much like a key fits into a lock. And then if it's the proper key, then it turns the lock and the door is open and whatever cellular process then can occur. Well, these receptor blockers, they fit into the lock, but they do not turn the tumbler. So it's like a bad key. And so by doing that, they block the receptor so that door never opens. The hormone receptor signal is never sent. Well, the keys, though, they go in and out of the lock. They don't just go in there and stay stuck. So if you can imagine, if you have, instead of just having one key that's a bad key and one that's a good key, how about if you had five good keys and only one bad key? Then you could outnumber the bad key, and then you could get that door to open and send the receptor signal. That's what I reasoned, and so I thought, well, we should give this woman progesterone, and we should give it at a pretty good dose. And so pretty much on the fly, I devised a protocol that could be used, and later I modified it based on our experience. And I was able to contact a doctor in El Paso, Texas, Jonalyn Bellacura, who is also a NAPRO technology-trained physician. So she had progesterone in the office and was experienced using it. And so I told her what I thought the dosing should be, and she agreed, and she then proceeded to treat this patient. And about 7.5 months later or so, the baby was born. It was a healthy term baby with no complications, no birth defects at all. And the mother and the child were just such a beautiful couple to see. I never got to meet them, but Terry Palmquist did get to meet them and took a picture with them. And so I have a picture of the three of them in my office celebrating this great gift of life. So that's how it got started. And soon thereafter, I had a patient in my own practice. I treated the same way. We were able to save that baby also. And pretty soon, we started getting in contact with people around the country and started helping others. And we published an article, which is the first article in the medical peer-reviewed literature, describing six cases. 4 out of 6 had healthy babies. And I co-authored that with my co-author, Dr. Mary Davenport, who's also a NAPRO technology doctor in California. Then I decided, well, we probably ought to have a more formalized approach to this to help women all over the country and even over the world. So Culture of Life Family Services, we started a program called the Abortion Pill Reversal Program. We have a website, abortionpillreversal.com, where women who have taken mifepristone and are not sure what to do if they change their minds, they go on the internet and they find us. And we have a 24-hour day, 7-day a week nurse rotation of women who take these calls and help these women. And now we have a network of 122 physicians across the country who are willing to help these women. And we're looking, of course, to get doctors in every major metropolitan area and even in rural areas, so that when a woman calls and says, you know, I'm in Indianapolis and I need help, we can connect her with a doctor in Indianapolis quickly who can get her started on progesterone, because we feel that time is of the essence. Mm-hmm. We want to get the antidote on board as soon as possible. We've helped women in over 22 states. We've helped women in 5 foreign countries, Mexico, Italy, Australia, Poland, and South Africa. We are getting more and more calls every day, and we're looking forward to helping more and more women who change their mind after taking the mifepristone.
I know a doctor personally in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that is NAPRO technology trained, that is aware of this procedure. I don't know if he's on your list or not, but I'll make certain that the two of you are connected. But this is becoming more and more known across the nation. Could you walk us through, if a woman takes the first medication and then she changes her mind, about how long does she have to start on the progesterone high dosage regimen?
Well, ideally, we want to get her started within 24 hours. That's our goal. However, we have had women who've started the progesterone 72 hours later.
Wow.
And have successfully carried the pregnancy. So it depends on a lot of things. It probably depends on how the woman is, her body has metabolized the mifepristone, because we know there are variations in that. It depends on how early she is in the pregnancy. The younger the human embryo, probably the more susceptible it's going to be the mifepristone. We know that when they're farther out in their pregnancy, the survival rates are better. So those are probably the two biggest variables, how early she is when she took the mifepristone and how soon we get the progesterone on board.
Okay, so I would encourage anyone who's listening to jot down the website, abortionpillreversal.com, abortionpillreversal.com, because even though you may not think you'll ever need this information, it could be that someone will share with you their plight and you will know what to do. And this is the way this kind of information spreads most rapidly, is by word of mouth, and for those of us who stand for the sanctity of human life to be equipped and prepared to direct people who are in crisis situations. And that brings me to the next point, Dr. Delgado, that I would like to just touch on, and that is the many crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers across the country who are ready, willing, and able to help women who are in crisis pregnancies. They are definitely in a crisis. We don't call it crisis pregnancy for no reason, but there are people to come alongside them and help in many ways. And I know that is certainly one way that we can encourage women to give life to their babies. Tell us a little bit about what you know in general as far as the services that are offered at crisis pregnancy centers. And to my knowledge, all services are free and completely confidential across the country.
Right. Well, you know, the crisis pregnancy centers, also called pregnancy resource centers, they do a wonderful job of just being there for these women who are in crisis pregnancies. They provide a supportive, non-judgmental presence, and they offer a true alternative, an alternative to choose life. Of course, they never force these women to choose life, but they make that choice an available and an attractive option. Because so many times these women feel like they're boxed in a corner and they only see one way out. And when they go to these clinics like Planned Parenthood, the only way out given really is abortion. But they go to these pregnancy resource centers, they see that there's a whole new world out there, that they can choose life and take it one day at a time. They have people there who are willing to support them, who are able to get them in good prenatal care, who are able to get them into classes for parenting skills, for life skills. If they want to explore their relationship, their faith with God, they're there to help them with that. If they are going to need diapers or other supplies, they're helping with that. They have benefactors who can get them cribs. If they want to have help in raising the child, they can give them a lot of support in that way. Or if they choose adoption, which is a wonderful life-giving option, a very selfless option, they are there to help them with that and to give them referrals. Additionally, we're trying to talk with pregnancy resource centers to see if they're willing to jump on board with the abortion pill reversal program. We have a great opportunity in San Jose, California, where this Juan Diego Center, which is a pregnancy resource center, has now decided to become an active participant in an abortion pill reversal network. So what they've done is they have made an agreement with doctors in their area who are willing to treat these patients, but the Juan Diego Center serves as the support base for that. And so they have progesterone there. Of course, it's only given if it's ordered by the doctor. But this way, the doctor's office doesn't have to be burdened with the whole abortion pill reversal process if they don't want it in their office. Mm-hmm. And the Juan Diego Center then does all of the footwork and all of the telephone calls needed, because that can be very time-consuming, sure, trying to line everything up. So we're hoping that other pregnancy resource centers across the country are willing to step up to this new level of support for women who have decided to change their mind after taking the mifepristone. And these pregnancy resource centers have a great advantage because they know the pro-life doctors in the area. They have relationships with them. Some of them may be their medical directors. And we're hoping that they can now become contacts for us across the country so that we can truly replicate this all over the country and have contacts for women in any different part of the country who wish to reverse the mifepristone.
Well, we've certainly talked with women who've changed their minds after they were convinced that they were going through with an abortion. So this is such an encouragement. And Dr. Delgado, I think the networking is extremely important. I would share with our listeners that when I was in Washington, D.C. back in January at the March for Life, I picked up one of your cards for the abortionpillreversal.com website in a woman's restroom. And that's when I first became aware that this was even possible. So from San Diego to Washington, D.C. to Indiana is how this particular network thread went. So maybe we'll get many, many more voices activated across Indiana for certain as a result of this program, but across the country to get out this good news that a woman can change her mind even after she's ingested that first lethal dose of the chemical abortion procedure. I mentioned at the beginning of the program that there have been many changes to the whole abortion issue in the last 41 years. And just so there's no confusion, let's circle back to another kind of chemical that is involved in the abortion discussion now, and that is Plan B, the morning after pill. This is not what we're talking about here with RU486, right?
Not at all. They're chemically very different. They also are very different in their mechanisms of action. So again, the mifepristone RU486 is an anti-progesterone medicine. It blocks progesterone, and it therefore causes an abortion. The Plan B is a artificial progestin. So in many ways, it acts like progesterone, but the timing of when it's given, one of the mechanisms of how it works is by inhibiting ovulation. It also, though, because it kind of jams the hormonal system, it changes the lining of the uterus, just like all birth control pills do, so that the lining of the uterus is no longer luxuriant and hospitable to a developing baby who tries to implant there. And so that is why we feel that, well, we're certain that birth control pills, but also probably this Plan B, can lead to early chemical abortions by changing the lining of the uterus, mm-hmm, so that the baby cannot implant. So it's a different mechanism, but
still ends up in the death of an unborn baby.
It still can end up in the death of an unborn baby.
Exactly.
Now, there's another so-called morning after pill called Ella, which is relatively new. And Ella is approved to be taken up to 5 days after intercourse. And Ella does work in ways that prevent ovulation. It also can change the cervical mucus, and it can also can change the lining of the uterus. However, Ella is different from Plan B. It's not a progestin. Ella is actually in the same chemical family of mifepristone, RU486. Ella is a progesterone blocker. And so Ella is most definitely abortifacient, at least some of the time, because it works just like mifepristone. So it's important to realize that Ella is even, sort of from an ethical, spiritual standpoint, even more dangerous than Plan B because of how it works.
And we'd like to have you back, Dr. Delgado, to unpack the adverse effects that all these chemicals can have on a woman's body, because I know they're significant and we're just about out of time, but I know that's enough information for another program. So would you come back and join us to discuss some of these other related issues?
Sure, I would love to.
Okay, I understand your hotline is 877-558-0333. Is that correct?
That's correct.
877-558-0333. And that is staffed by a medical professional 24/7?
That's correct.
And your website again is?
AbortionPillReversal.com.
And we will have all this up on our website at iChooseLife.org so that if you didn't have a pen or pencil or were driving down the street when you're listening to this program, that information will be available to you at iChooseLife.org.
And one more thing on our website, for those who want a little more information, if they go to the doctors tab, they can view a webinar that I recorded a little less than a year ago, and that explains the whole mifepristone reversal story.
Well, I would encourage our listeners, especially women, to check with your OBGYN to make certain that he is a pro-life physician, and in any event, to share with your physicians, both just general practice and the specialists, about this procedure, because oftentimes doctors learn about things like this from their patients. So again, refer your doctor to this website, abortionpillreversal.com. Speak about this promising solution to a changed mind in the middle of an abortion procedure, chemical abortion procedure. Have that information ready to hand out when the Lord gives you an opportunity to share this good news. Dr. Delgado, any final thoughts?
Well, I think this is a very hopeful time, and I think the abortion industry felt that this development of mifepristone was a way to increase the abortions by taking it and putting it into the privacy of a woman's home. But God always has a different plan, and now we know that we do have an antidote for this, so we just have to spread that message of hope and let women know that it's never too late.
Well, Dr. Delgado, I think the Lord put you in the position you're in for such a time as this, and we're so thankful for dedicated men and women like you who are about the business that breaks God's heart, and that is saving the babies that are intended to be discarded with surgical waste one way or another. So thank you so much for what you do, and we'll have you back real soon for an update on this particular topic and also to talk more about chemicals and how they relate to women's health.
Very good. I look forward to being back.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a crisis pregnancy center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.